Can you just go back to living your life?
No.
After what you've done? After where you've been?
No. No, you can't. You can't.
Man.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't just go back to a normal life. Your life is forever changed. It's like serving in the military, but this is like the party military, you know? Like going to New Orleans is like enlisting in alcoholic National Guard. And it's a hard transition to come back after the horrors I've seen, both literal and metaphorical, to come back to a normal life and you know, like work a day job and have normal problems again and watch a child and have dogs. Yeah. That's weird. And not eat shrimp po' boys and not eat soft shell crab fried whole as a thing where you don't have to take any parts of it. You just eat the whole thing, but it's just
the whole crab.
Yeah. It's a whole crab staring at you. Yeah. That I'm not ready to be back from that. I'm not ready to not have fresh oysters on command at any point of my life whenever I want. I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, I don't really know what you can do. Like, you can go get a carne asada burrito and remind yourself how nice it is to be in Phoenix.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when it comes to food, that's exactly what I did. I don't know, was that one of our meal theory classes? Because you went right to where I was thinking, which was, I just had that realization once I was back in town that we have our own po' boy shop on every corner. And it's Mexican food that ends in the suffix Berto in some way.
Yeah.
Filiberto.
Any Bertos
Alberto,
at all.
And it doesn't matter. It's great. I embraced the Arizona culture on my first day back by having carnitas served on Indian fry bread. And
there you go.
I thought to myself while eating that, which was covered in chipotle sauce and seasoning, I was like, this is something you can't get everywhere. So I'm going to embrace this. And I don't know. I don't know. It's so far it's worked. I'm not homesick from New Orleans yet, but I definitely feel a lack of connection with food and a lack of connection with people. That's another weird thing, is going from the frat-like atmosphere of being on vacation with thesteelcage.com and then going back to a normal life where I sleep in bed with a woman, you know? It's weird.
that's the worst.
Oh, you know, we rotated beds and I was sleeping with a different dude every night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a vacation.
You don't know whose farts you're smelling.
No, and they're all different, and they all are so unique. They're like snowflakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even there, but I can almost smell it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you feel it, you smell it. I like being around those guys, though. I don't know. It's a very weird thing to go on vacation with, like, 6 dudes to 8 dudes and, like, all stay in one hotel room and everybody get along. And I think that's one of the rare dynamics that we from the Steel Cage have, considering that we all are kind of this hodgepodge of friends that came together in several different ways.
If you can effectively move as a unit with more than 4 people, you're doing really well.
I am so impressed with that. Like, I think mostly because, and I gave credit on Minutes with the Mayor this week to Adam Hess. But I have to give him credit again, because he's not necessarily the babysitter of the group, but he takes on that responsibility of planning something and then making all of us idiots follow through with it. And like, for the most part, we're totally okay with that, because the rest of us are on like autopilot because we're in vacation mode. We're totally down to do whatever somebody else tells us to do, and we fall right in line. But somebody has to be in charge, and someone has to make the plans. And for the most part, Adam unceremoniously does that for us, and he deserves credit for the fact that, especially in New Orleans, which was a town he was familiar with, he grew up there, it wasn't easy. dealing with us isn't easy.
For those who don't know Adam, like he grew up in New Orleans for the most part, and he, or in Metairie, Louisiana, which is right outside New Orleans, came out here to Arizona, and that's how he knows all of us guys. We went to college together. And then what he has sort of done since just a couple years after graduating from college is basically become like a career traveler and sort of tailored his entire life to in service of seeing more of the world.
It's enviable because of the fact that he does everything that you could have ever imagined somebody saying that they were going to set out and see the world. He literally sees everything.
Yeah, he's done it. Whatever your dream is, whatever your bucket list is, he's done it, and he's over it because he had kind of a shitty time because like the AC were in the hotel while he was there, and your dream is stupid. but actually, you know, he because of this lifestyle, which is it's a weird thing because you can't help but envy it because he literally goes everywhere. It's amazing. And yet it also, like, you have to be very comfortable just being by yourself. And I don't know if I could handle that aspect of it.
Not at all. Like, as a matter of fact, I said this before. I think I said this on the WrestleMania podcast, but I don't really do stuff out of my comfort zone. I didn't before meeting these guys, you know? And I, you know, sometimes you kind of feel like a purpose why someone came into your life. That's the only way I can explain it sometimes, because the encouragement to like get out of my comfort zone and go do things I wasn't comfortable with is a big part of my, you know, like victory of being part of the Steel Cage. Like, I feel like these guys, even though they're younger than me, encouraged me to do shit that I would have never done, you know. And we met, you know, we met some of our listeners from the Steel Cage who said the same thing about us as a whole. And I love that, you know, but I really mean that in the aspect that, like, I would have never have had the courage to go meet up with people in a location like that, let alone do what Adam does. Like, let alone literally go out on your own and not be with people and travel.
He'll make all new friends every weekend. It's kind of incredible.
It's incredible too that he's willing to go to the places that he's gone, because it's encouraging to me that not everywhere you think is going to be awesome is awesome, and some of the places that you least expect it to be amazing are amazing. Like, Thailand seems like one of these places that was never on my radar, but now I have to go. You know, it just, from everything I've seen of his trips there and what he's told me, it just sounds amazing. And it's sounds very inexpensive, but it sounds very much like paradise. So it's intriguing to me, you know, but it's different. He lives in Australia. I mean, shit, man, some of the areas that, you know, we have the access to here in the United States, like New Orleans, are amazing. My biggest piece of advice to anybody that has listened to us talk about New Orleans, listened to the pod, and wanted to go there, is to go there without anything to do. Do not wait for WrestleMania to come into town. Because I will say this, frankly, as a wrestling fan, that I enjoyed that town so much, it felt like having tickets to things only got in the way of what I really wanted to be doing, which was getting drunk on Bourbon Street and eating muffalettas and any other amazing thing that I could find. Any po' boy, anywhere, you know? But that's because I'm all about the food, Tim. I'm all about the food. This is what...
Yeah.
I don't even go on these wrestling trips anymore for the wrestling. Forget that. I'm there to snack and I'm there to meal. And sometimes I like to meal when I snack, and sometimes I like to snack when I meal. We went to Emerald's restaurant that was purely, they call it tapas. I like to call it, it was a snacking restaurant, Tim. It was a whole Emerald's restaurant that was just for snacking, and it was amazing, and I wish you were with me.
Oh, man.
We would have picked, eaten, and rated everything on that menu.
Oh, and I listened to your entire Minutes with the Mayor podcast where you and Jared recapped the whole WrestleMania weekend. And I feel like I have to clear the air about the whole White Castle crystal thing.
Oh, please do. Please do. Because I got attacked viciously for the fact that we went to Crystal.
I wasn't the only one, I know.
No.
I was certainly piling on.
You were piling on, but you were gentle with your piling on.
It was a gut reaction. You start to feel very territorial about the things that you like. And I think that everybody experiences this in one way or another, whether it's a certain political party or figure, whether it's the comic book movie universe that you prefer. There's all these little things that we sort of feel like have to be a zero sum game. And that is not true about Sliders, man. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a good meal at Crystal. If that's what you needed, if that got you through the night, like, that's fine. It's not like Crystal and White Castle are enemies. They don't, I don't think, exist at all in the same footprint anywhere. And if that was my biggest confusion,
because most people seem to be telling us, like, you should go to White Castle instead of Crystal. And it's like, well, Crystal's here and it's delicious and it's what we needed. But I understand
if there is any overlap, it's going to be in like the weird fringes of where the Midwest meets the South, which is really where I'm from. But you don't want to go to those places.
No, nobody wants to go there. No, nobody wants to go there. But I'll say this, that I love Sliders. I think they're a deceptive hamburger. Frankly, I think the Sliders at Carl's Jr. are better than both White Castle or Crystal. I'll go on record as saying that. They're delicious. They're amazing. Go to Carl's Jr., eat those. The whole steamed slider thing that Crystal and White Castle got going on, I'm not really down with it. But I'll say when you're drunk and they're close and you can get a lot of them for cheap, that Crystal's the way to go. You know? Sometimes you can't pick and choose. I understand what people are getting at. We were in New Orleans. It's prime eating real estate. Like
in New Orleans, they have Crystal though. That's like that's the burger place that they've got. There's not a White Castle down there.
Right. Now, and the thing about New Orleans is this, is even speaking as a certified snackologist and a fan of meals, I will say that after a while, you can only take so much spicy food. And that's the biggest thing with New Orleans, is there's nothing that's not spicy. It's just varying degrees of spice. I think the least spicy thing I had was like oysters and that type of thing. But even that tends to be hard on your stomach when you're mixing it with hand grenades, mimosas, and terrible beer. So New Orleans was a crapshoot for my tummy, let's just say.
I was wrong. There are White Castles in New Orleans.
Oh, there it is. You had to ruin
sons
it.
Of bitches.
Yep.
They're all over.
They're probably one closer to our hotel than
Canal
the Crystal.
Street, Royal Street.
Yeah, we were right there. Grand Delay. Shout out to Adam.
I want to walk back everything I said earlier. Fuck you guys. You should have gone to White Castle.
God damn it. Shit. All right. Well, moving on.
It is a zero-sum game.
You know what? You're splitting our audience into two. And I don't think that our viewers should be made to choose before we've at least welcomed them into the podcast. All right. So I would like to welcome our listeners/viewers to episode 27 of Derek and Tim Eat Snacks.
Derek and Tim eat snacks on the internet.
And I'm fine with you attacking me over our choices, because there were not good choices made in New Orleans by any stretch of the imagination. It was bad choice after bad choice after bad choice, you know? But at the very least, the bad choices that I made did lead me to some very interesting experiences. And if you do want to hear a little bit more about those, please check out this week's episode of Minutes with the Mayor.
I do recommend it. Even I mean, Jared's not me, obviously. You got to suffer that downgrade, but it's a very good podcast nonetheless.
Jared is a very good traveling partner. While I am reactionary to my body fighting me, Jared is, it's like being on vacation with your mom a little bit, you know? He has all the stomach medications you need. He's got ibuprofen. He's got an extra neck pillow. It's really nice. Really feel well taken care of when I travel with Jared. However, that doesn't mean that New Orleans didn't kick my ass. And it took me several days. As you can even hear, I'm still recovering. Like many people that left Louisiana, I did have a weird cold thing that was going around. Luckily, I made it out so far, at the very least so far, without having measles. So that's a plus.
You should be vaccinated for that.
I am vaccinated for that, but you never know. You never know. It's only 97% effective.
Some of these measles outbreaks, man, you can't avoid it. But
and I know that they weren't disinfecting the Smoothie King Center between shows. You know, they want to act like it's direct contact. Not in a disgusting place like that. Not with wrestling fans, let me tell you. And that's no knock at wrestling fans. That's more of a knock at the, you know, disinfecting thoroughness of the Smoothie King Center. However, I'm feeling better. I'm on the mend. And I'm ready to snack. Because I haven't snacked enough since I've come back. Like I said, I did get some Arizona delicacies in me. And I also got some Chicago ones. Because that's another blessed part about being here in Arizona is it's got all of the good Chicago food.
Oh yeah, but speaking of a zero sum game, we've become the proxy war battlefield for the Chicago style pizza places.
We really
they
have
got
been.
Tired of fighting it out on their own streets.
Yep,
and so now they're just dropping bombs here in Phoenix. We've got Lou Malnati's, we've got Giordano's, we got Gino's. I think there's another one.
Giordano's brought it. One of the pizzas we had for my birthday party was I believe, chicken sausage and spinach and something else pizza, and it was delightful.
It was good. It was really good.
Unexpectedly good. But yeah, actually, by comparison to Lou Malnati's, I will say Giordano's is a bit better. But yes, we get all of that. We get the good Mexican food. You can't complain about the Arizona cuisine, but it's just hard. It's hard to adjust back. I keep calling sandwiches po' boys.
Oh, man. You go into Jersey Mike's and ask for a po' boy.
Yeah. Went into Subway, said, can I get a meatball po' boy?
Yeah. God. Oh, the fucking Subway, man. The meatball
Fuck
sub.
Them.
The Subway is their whole thing is that it's supposed to be healthy, but the only good thing worth eating at Subway is that meatball sub, and it is so bad for you.
So bad.
Footlong meatball so sub bad. has like 1,200 calories, and that's what you want. That's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing worth eating. The only thing worth smelling like that fucking bread the rest of your day is the meatball sub from Subway.
I find Subway to be terrible.
Yeah, I don't go there.
And I try my best not to go there, but I won't lie. There's one with a drive-thru by me, and I'm lazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm lazy.
I've never seen one with a drive-thru. At least I've never driven through.
Really? Yes. This is. See, I don't get cool drive-thru stuff on my side of town, so this is a rarity. Like, I don't get any cool Panda Expresses that are drive-thru. None of that shit.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of drive-thrus like in my immediate area either. Like, if I want to get really the good stuff, I got to get out of the car. The only drive-thrus are like McDonald's and Taco Bell, and soon we're getting a Wendy's.
Yeah, see, I'll drive through for dessert even, and that's how lazy I am, is I'll take a bad dessert through drive through just if I can get it through drive through.
We do have a Dairy Queen drive through as well.
Oh, see, that's
I'll drive through there to get dessert every once in a while.
That's solid. You get the what was it called? The cookie jar. That's the one to get.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's all the cookies.
Oh,
it's like cookie dough, Oreos, something else. But yes, I like toppings. I like desserts, and I'm a fan of this week's snack already, and I haven't even tried it yet. Because this week's snack, it continues our tradition of being on the go, and the necessity for a dessert snack, especially. It's also continuing our 13-part series known as Dates with Craig. God bless Craig, by the way. I saw him in New Orleans. He is...
Was this your first time meeting Craig, or had you met Craig before?
I want to say it is the first time. I could be wrong about that. It's so weird because Craig feels like such a part of this show in my life that I find it unbelievable to think that that's the first time I met him. But yeah, it could be. So Craig, I know you're listening, and I love you, buddy. It was great seeing you. And part of Craig's snack box subscription service is this week's snack, Sheila G's Brownie Brittle.
Chocolate chip flavor.
Chocolate chip flavored brownie brittle. Now, I've heard the phrase brownie brittle a lot, but I don't think I've ever had brownie brittle in any capacity, shape, or form. So not only is this my first time trying Sheila G's brownie brittle, but it's my first time trying brownie brittle, period.
For me, I feel like I've gotten this on sample at Costco before.
Okay.
But I'm not sure, and I don't know what flavor it was.
All right. I could see that.
It was one of those things where I was like, man, if I buy a bag that big, it's all over for me. It happens a lot at Costco.
Oh, yeah. You know you're not going to finish it before it goes bad, or you're going to eat it all before it goes bad, and that's going to be a problem for you too. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're addicted to brownie brittle. You have to go back to Costco every week.
I did that with the giant bag of popcorn that was cheddar flavored mixed with caramel popcorn in a Chicago style.
Yes, the G.H. Crater's Chicago mix.
Yes.
Oh my God, that stuff. It is insane. And it does go bad pretty quickly. You have to eat through that bag in about a week and a half. Otherwise,
it goes stale. The cheddar, the caramel stays good forever, but the cheddar especially goes bad fast. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just give that snack a 10.0 right now since we're talking
about it. Yeah, that's a 10 out of 10 snack, man. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I never thought
cheddar and caramel together would taste so good. I never thought that combination would be so great. As a matter of fact, I think my entire life I've been separating my popcorns specifically because I thought those two things would be disgusting together. And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, man. And there's, you know, we talk about territorialism and, you know, in the battle of sliders, but, you know, growing up in St. Louis, we always felt that there was this rivalry with Chicago. But when it comes to like inventing cool new ways to eat stuff, like Chicago has just smoked us.
Oh yeah.
For the most part. St. Louis had a good run at the 1904 World's Fair, and ever since then it's been all Chicago.
Well, it's like Arizona's too new. We're just now getting around to experimenting with our own like regional delicacies, and that's why stuff is starting to become awesome here.
Yeah, what is our claim to fame is that we've invented the chimichanga.
Sure.
There's a couple of different Arizona restaurants.
That's a pretty good thing to claim, though, you know?
Yeah.
I like carne asada topped hot dogs. That's one of the mutants that's come out of this recent growth that I love. Matter of fact, hot dogs topped with anything. I was at Portillo's the other day, and they had I had a hot dog topped with or Italian beef and a Italian sausage in one. It was amazing.
Of course, that's another Chicago joint. That's another example of Chicago figuring out different ways to configure things like our pizza, our hot dogs, our popcorn. Like you gotta hand it to them. Yeah. They did it.
They're good at it.
They're
good at it. Now, what I'm impressed by is this claim that Sheila G is delivering rich brownie taste with a cookie crunch. I peered into these. I'm taking a sniff, and you know what, Tim? I like what I smell.
Oh yeah,
I like what I smell.
That's good and chocolatey.
That is a brown. Like if you're saying that this is brownie, and then I'm smelling this, I'm agreeing with you that it's brownie.
Yeah.
Now, these definitely have a cookie-like texture to them. For those of you that are familiar with brownie brittle, you're probably like, yeah, of course, idiot. That's the brittle part. But yeah.
it almost feels like a graham cracker.
Yeah.
In your hand.
Oh, I want to make s'mores with this now, Tim.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to make s'mores with this, and I want to do it right now before the end of this podcast.
I have more, Derek.
I know. I'm Janelle-ing stuff, and I shouldn't be Janelle-ing stuff when we're in the middle of just trying to rate it straight up. But yeah, I'm down for a different way to do brownies, I suppose. Brownies get dried out really fast and get gross. Yet, I do like brownies when they have the crispy top. Are you a fan of the crispy top on the brownies or no? Do you like it soft through and through?
I like a little bit of crisp. And my hack for brownies is that I use the all edges pan. I got one of those pans where it's, I think a lot of people would hear that, this is yet another territorial identity bullshit thing where it's like, if you're the type of person who likes the middle of the brownie, the soft middle part of the brownie, you absolutely hate the idea of having an all edges pan.
Yeah.
And I'm a middle brownie person. You know, I like the soft, sometimes undercooked, center, you know, chewy part of the brownie, not the edge. But what this does is it gives you a more uniform cook across the whole brownie. So it's like soft throughout with just like the right amount of crispness around the edges and on top.
So it doesn't make them all edge brownies. It just makes them all like overall averaged out softness to crispiness to all of that.
Yeah. It makes every brownie like a consistently good experience. Like each one perfectly cooked.
I'd try it based on that description. Because I do hate that about brownies, about anything you cook as like a solid cake-like unit, that there's, you know, varying consistencies throughout. You know, that's why, if you don't know this, that's why like birthday cakes have a thicker ring of frosting on the outside. Because it was always believed that the cake was going to be drier and harder on the outside. So that's why when you look at a birthday cake, it has, you know, like the flowers and shit on the outside edge, because the outside edge is supposed to be overcooked and overdone. But they don't really do it that way anymore. So cakes are just kind of a little more uniform. But yeah, that was the original purpose of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I know now a lot of times if you watch somebody, you know, somebody who knows what they're doing, decorate a cake, they'll take the cake out of the pan and you know how the like your round cake kind of domes up on top.
Yeah,
they just cut that dome.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That impresses me. See, those are the pro tips. Like when you're trying to make a cake at home and yours is shit compared to the ones that they make in the store, that's the difference. You're not putting in that extra work. Yeah. You're not making it level. You're not taking a level and making it level before you put the other, you know, layer on top. You don't want to do that much work.
No, but you should. It'll be worth it because you set that other cake on top and all of a sudden it like cracks because it's not flat on the bottom anymore.
Oh God, that's the worst.
Crack on the top of your cake. You got to try to fill it with frosting and hope nobody notices.
Or they're both rounded in the same direction and you try to put them both in there in that same way, like as if no one's going to notice. But we notice. We see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm hungry and I want dessert and I didn't have enough dinner to eat, so I'm ready to do this. I'm ready for brownie brittle. You ready to do this? Oh, you're already going. I hear you.
I just, well, you were announcing that you're going to dig in, and I just said, I guess I preempted you. Like a little Sheila, her name drives me insane. Sweet little girl, that's my little Sheila, man, this little girl is fine. Me and Sheila go for a ride.
On one hand, I really, really like it. On the other hand, it's like the goddamn Sahara in my mouth right now.
Yeah, I think it helps that I opened up the bag, that I smelled it, and held one of these things in my hand and thought about eating it while we talked for a minute. Because I was good and salivating by the time we started.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a dry, dry snack.
I know we just came back from a song break. Can we take another song break so we can go get some milk?
Oh, yeah, milk is a good idea. All
right.
I got water here. That's not good.
All right. Listen.
Maybe like I'm gonna have to make the map myself.
Overlay.
Yeah.
Yep. I know.
Like go county by county across America, like White Castle, Crystal, neither or both. Oh no, go on.
All right, got them out. Still eating these. Like, it's rare where I honestly think that the product is just the product that it claims to be dried and then made into small squares, but that's what I'm getting off of this.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. It really, like, everything it claims to be is what it is, and it has, like, the rich chocolatey flavor of a brownie. And I mean, the chocolate chips, I think, take it up a notch further.
Yeah.
Like it is, you could not possibly be disappointed in the amount of chocolate you're getting here.
Yeah, it's almost too much. But it's 120 calories per serving, and it says each serving is 5. So, I don't know. I'm way past 5 now, but I feel like 5 is fair.
It seems like a pretty reasonable snack.
Yeah.
Like a serving where just maybe you could stop at 5. But yeah, I don't want to.
No, I'm going to stop when I finish this whole bag. That's what I'm going to stop.
I might save some just because I think my kids would like them. But then I got to start buying them at Costco.
Yep.
That's
the trap when you have kids, letting them taste stuff and then they want it.
I've gotten to the point where like my kids eat so few things that I'm excited if they like anything that they taste.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good point. I do get that way with my daughter. She liked, I think I was talking about it last week. She likes asparagus. And that's fun to me that we got her to like asparagus.
Any vegetable is a win, says the guy stuffing his face with brownie cookies.
Uh-huh. Yep. Anything that's not chicken tenders, or chicken nuggets, or chicken whatever.
Those things are like pure protein, man. Kids can have as many of those as they want.
It's what I would like to think. I remember when I was, way too old to finally be realizing the true facts about nutrition. But I was a teenager, and I almost felt like breaking down in tears when I realized how bad the stuff I liked was for me. You know? I just had this really depressed sense of, you know, not ever being able to eat that stuff. But here I am today. I eat it all the time.
We grew up in the 90s, man. We know now that Big Sugar, like actually paid scientists off to suppress how bad sugar was for
you. Yeah. I believe Mondelez was involved in that.
Like, I'd have to imagine, or at least, like, if not Mondelez, like, the people who supply the sugar to Mondelez. And it's crazy. In the 90s, you would, if you ate something or drank something and the label said that there was no fat in it, it was like, you're cool.
Yeah.
There's no fat in this Mountain Dew. I'm going to have another.
Yep.
That was our understanding about healthy eating back then.
Forget the 40 grams of sugar that are in it.
Yeah.
I'm mad at soda to this day over the amount of sugar they have in it.
I can't quit it. I can cut back, but I can't quit it all the way.
Let me tell you this. I am one of the most liberal people when it comes to do what you do as long as it doesn't impact me. Right? So, yeah. Especially when it comes to like city laws enforcing arbitrary health codes to try to save people. I'm a big time believer in Hey man, survival of the fittest. If that dude doesn't want to look both ways before walking out in traffic, then that's on him. You know, we had that Uber thing that came up here where a Uber self-driving car hit and killed a woman, and it's very unfortunate. However, my biggest question in watching that is, why has nobody asked what this woman was doing out on the street in the middle of the night, walking across the street that was not a sidewalk or crosswalk or intersection or anything like that?
Uber, oh, I've actually seen a lot of good reporting on this.
Well, and Uber gets a lot of heat for it, and I get it. But again, I'm just trying to give an example of my personal beliefs. I'm like, hey, you know, sorry that that happened, but I don't really feel like someone walking in the middle of the night across a major street without it being at an intersection or a crosswalk was doing what they should be. I mean, technically they were violating a law by jaywalking or whatever.
So the street, that street actually, like the where she was crossing, there was like this large, like triangular median thing in the road, which has like an X shaped pedestrian path across the large median.
Okay.
At every end point of the X is a sign that says, do not cross here. And it's like, why even have that walkway if you don't want people to cross at the end point of the walkway?
So it's confusing is what you're saying. And she was,
it's a poorly designed pedestrian area. Very okay. poorly designed.
Cause all I've heard is that there was no crosswalk or anything. And from whatever I've seen, it looks like it's like, you know, an area that people are driving through at like 40, 45 miles an hour, you know? But regardless, I mean, I'm not going to get caught up in the semantics of that. I'm just saying overall, I mean, that's my position on it is, you know, unless this was something running through like a crosswalk or a, you know, major intersection when it wasn't supposed to be, then I don't know. It's kind of on you as the person. That's how I was brought up to be watching where you're going and to not expect a car, especially in the middle of the night, to see you. And to know where you're going, right? And I'm completely off path on what I was saying. But my point being, when it comes to all of this stuff, is that I never thought for a million years that I would be the type of person that would be in favor or, you know, behind something like what New York City tried to do when they tried to limit the amount of soda businesses could sell to people. You know, and there was this big uprising about it, and people were furious that they were going to limit them to purchasing, I believe, a 20-ounce soda or a 16-ounce soda. And whatever, I think it was 20-ounce. And what was funny to me in that realization was, like, one soda is already, one can of soda, one single can of soda is already more than half of your daily intake of so in fact, it's pretty much your 100% of your daily suggested intake of sugar, and the sodas that they essentially were allowing businesses to sell were like 8 ounces more than that. Sure. With ice, maybe it's not a full 8 ounces, but it's about the same amount. Maybe it's a little bit more.
Was it a 24 ounce soda? Was that it was all under Bloomberg, right?
Yeah, it was under Bloomberg and it was the max, right? But it was during a time where I became very woke about my soda intake, and it was just one of those times where I found myself completely on board with what the government was trying to do because I felt like they were saving people from themselves, you know, like, well, we shouldn't be drinking 64 ounces of soda at any point. Let alone
there,
in a
there,
single
are,
sitting.
There are certain times when I like to get a soda, and one of these times is when I go to the movie theaters, right?
Yeah.
And out here, you know, I go to a lot of movies with Jared, as we mentioned, and it's almost always an AMC theater. And what's nice about AMC is they have this AMC Stubs rewards program where you pay like a little bit every year, and you usually wind up getting that back in credits, either towards your movie ticket purchase or towards your concessions. One of the benefits of having the Stubbs membership is not only do you get this like VIP line, but also you get free upgrades on your concessions. And they only have two sizes of soda, which is medium and large. And so when you're a Stubbs member, the only soda size that you logically would get is a large because it costs the same. And the large soda is 64 ounces. And that is absurd.
That is absurd. Well, we talked about this with the candy bars last week. $1.59 for a normal size candy bar, but a king size for $1.99. Of course I'm getting the king size, goddammit. Yeah. Why are you making me do that, though?
Well, that's the thing. When you're paying $6 or whatever for a soda, it's like, of course I want to have enough soda to make it, you know, all the way through the movie and have to pee like I'm going to die afterwards.
But why are you making me fat when there's free refills and I can come back out and fill up my soda again if I want to? Why are you making me do that? Why are you making me take 64 ounces of soda into the theater with me? You know I don't need that. You know none of us need that. You know? See, I applaud Brownie Brittle for the fact that it doesn't really try that hard. It gives you, 14 grams of sugar in a sitting, but that's 14 grams of chocolate chip brownie in a sitting for 120 calories per serving. That's not bad at all. It's really not.
Oh, it's not terrible. There's not a whole lot of like positive nutrition going on here. But yeah, what's really interesting about this is that it's because of how rich it is and because of how dry it is, it's a snack that you could kind of stop eating it after. Like it's not, just a second ago, as we were talking about, you know, how bad for you soda is, and it's totally killing my snack buzz. You know, I wasn't eating any Brownie Brittle during that time, and I was kind of okay. Like, I was ready to close up the bag and move on.
Yeah, but then you started again, and now you're back on the train.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is for snackological purposes. I can't stop now.
No, you can't stop. It's like drinking in New Orleans. You can't stop.
Yeah. Or like, if once you have stopped, you've got to get yourself back into that soldier's mentality. You know, let the post-traumatic stress take over and power through however you can.
Yeah, I wasn't capable of that. It was just drinking, you know?
So you never even stopped. You just kept drinking.
Nope. Woke up 4 hours later, started drinking again. That's the way that it ran. Whatever I could get my hands on. The Airbnb that we had made the mistake of telling us that any open bottles of liquor that were on their bar were free for us to drink. So,
oh no,
things got wild. Let's just say that much. But I'm back on track now, and I won't lie.
Yeah,
I like something like Brownie Brittle when it comes to getting me back in my normal routine. That was one of the biggest problems with New Orleans is I don't eat like that except once a week, maybe. You know, I've really calmed down on my eating. Like when you and I go to Chino Bandito, that's like, you know, a smorgasbord of food. Smorgasbord.
I mean, it's not an actual buffet, but it is like a.
It's a lot of food. A lot of food, and that was every meal in New Orleans, two or three times a day, for five straight days. It was a lot for my stomach to take. I needed to get back on a normalized diet. And the one thing I like about something like this is that I feel that this is one of these snacks that can help you through like a weight loss issue, you know?
It feels very grown up.
Yeah. I'm bad with desserts. Like I need desserts. I'm very childish in that way. But if I can fool my body into thinking I'm getting dessert and a significant amount of sweets, then I'll be cool with it. I feel like this is that perfect kind of snack if that's what you need in your life, but you're only trying to get 120 calories and 14 grams of sugar.
This is really telling your mouth you just ate a brownie.
Yeah.
You know, it's communicating that to all those cannabinoid receptors in your brain that need that stimulation.
I know I do. I got in a bad habit of like needing to eat like a cookie before I go to bed. Right? I mean, that's totally like an old school thing that my mom influenced me on and that people don't do anymore. But the total like eating a glass of milk and some cookies before you go to bed, that is the worst time that you could eat some cookies is before you go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's going to keep you up. You'll have weird dreams.
Digesting all that sugar and fat while you're sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I don't know why we do this to ourselves. I'm ready to rate because, you know, I'm full of sugar now and I'm ready for bed. I got my glass of milk in me, and speaking of all of this, it's time for bed. I'm going to give it a 7.0.
Oh.
I feel like I was going to go lower on it, but then I came back around when I made the decision to see it from a little bit healthier of a perspective. Sure, it's not a healthy snack. Like you said, you're not getting nutrition out of that. Don't fool yourself. But if you're like me, you need to have sweets before bed. I think this is a good, you know, compromise for people on a diet. So go with the brownie brittle. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it's not even trying to be health food, really.
No, it's not.
It just presents itself in a way that it is able to trick you into feeling like you've eaten a full brownie when you haven't, which is kind of the genius of it.
Five of them in our case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I just dug in and ate my fill of a pan of brownies, and I just barely made a dent in this bag. And so I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Oh, wow.
I think it's good.
Especially the pieces that you get with a lot of chocolate chips in it.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see, because it looks like chocolate chip is a flavor, what other brownie brittles I might come across in the store.
Oh, it says on the back here, try all our delicious flavors, chocolate chip, salted caramel, toffee crunch, mint chocolate chip, and peanut butter chip.
Peanut butter chip!
Yeah, that's out there, man.
Yeah. All right. You know what?
So I'll try this. But you know what I wouldn't do is I would not want to eat this on a plane. Or anywhere else that, like, a drink is not going to be handy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I said, my mouth was like the damn Sahara earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm doing better now. The milk is almost a necessity.
It's like a cookie. You're not going to eat, like, a Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookie without a glass of milk present.
Yeah. But, I mean, and I would actually compare this even more to a graham cracker, like the texture of a graham cracker, yeah. The way that...
Yeah, I'm down with that, and I'm down with making it into a s'more still.
Yeah, yeah, we got to do that.
All right, another time. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll meet up between now and next week and make s'mores out of this. But I guess until then, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Hey.
Fuck. Yeah.
Fuck Nazis.
Fuck Nazis.